Well, hello there. Welcome along to the RT Soccer Podcast. I'm Adrian Eames, also joined by James O'Toole. Paul Curry, RT pundit, is with us. Graham Cummins, soccer correspondent of The Echo in Cork, is also on the line. We'll be chatting FAI Cup, Bowes and Dundalk in Europe. We have a special feature on Treaty United on Shannon's side. And we'll be chatting to Glenn McCauley about his goal from the halfway line on his hat-trick scoring debut for Athlone. But ultimately, it ended in tears because Waterford edged out the town in a penalty shootout. James, good to have you with us once again. You were in Kerry last week, so you enjoyed that, I'm sure. Where are you now?
I'm right at the tip of the country now in Donegal. I've moved 600 odd kilometres up the west coast to Donegal, where it is.
You call
just
that a holiday, commuting between Kerry and Donegal?
We had a stop off in Mayo on the way because with the kids it's a long drive from Kerry to Mayo, but off to Donegal. So no, it's been great crack so far, Adrian. You know, these staycations, we have to keep on doing them for a little while longer, I would suggest.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to spend the money in the Republic of Ireland, or indeed the north of Ireland as well, whatever your preference is. Let's get down to business. We'll be chatting FAI Cup in a little more detail very shortly. We're going to start maybe with the clubs in Europe this coming week. Bowes against Dudelange, the return leg, the second leg taking place at the Aviva. Bowes in a very good position after a 1-0 win away from home last week. Ross Tierney with the only goal. At Dundalk, a little more tricky for them. They're in Estonia, 2-2 from the first leg with Levadia Tallinn at Tala Stadium. Here now from Vinnie Perth, but before he talks about Thursday's second leg against Levadia Tallinn, Dundalk had a tight squeeze against Treaty United, needed extra time to progress in the cup. Patrick McElhinney with the winning goal. And at the Marketsfield after the match, Pat Costello spoke to Vinnie Perth.
Great just to be in the next round of the cup. It's not always pretty in the early rounds, and difficult draw. They, you know, Limerick is a credit to themselves. The pitch is outstanding. The venue is really good. And meeting one of my heroes on hand before the game, this is a great city full of real football potential. And it was great today. They tested us. This is what we wanted. So we had the talent in really positive mood.
Yeah, you've had a time to reflect probably a bit more on that match on Thursday. Disappointed with the start, but obviously happy that you came back to level.
Yeah, I think I called it before the game that it was going to be a real battle of two very similar styles. I think they showed, particularly in the first half, how good of a side they are. And we matched them, and we're lucky not to win the game. I thought we'd done enough to win it. Hopefully then, when we go over there, we're still the dominant side. But it's a kick of a wall in between the two teams. I think they've improved since 2018 when we played them and beat them. And we're probably not as strong yet as we were in 18. So yeah, that's leveled the tie, so it's a fair game. And this is the level the players want to be operating at. And that's sort of one of the goals of staying in the FAI Cup, to be back in Europe next year.
Yeah, have you seen enough of positives from Thursday night to say, yeah, we can do it this Thursday night?
Yeah, I think the key is the players have seen positives. The players have been a real... They generally know the mood and know they've looked at their opposition in the eye, and they feel that while it'll be a difficult game again, the heat over there will be quite hot. But if we perform to our very, very best, I think we've a chance of being in the next round. And it's a good tie if we get into the next round. So we'll go all out to win it. I'm a very attack-minded coach, but I think the players are attack-minded as well. So there might be more goals on Thursday night, and I'm all for that. We have to entertain people. And I think anyone that was in Tala last Thursday seen an exceptional game of football.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be in Tala last Thursday for that game, and it was a very entertaining match, perhaps too entertaining for a manager like Vinnie Perth. Dundalk drawing 2-2 with Levadia Tallinn. It is very finely balanced. I know we say that about every tie that ends all square, Paul, after the first leg. 2-2, but you kind of get a sense perhaps that the advantage now has to be with the Estonians.
Yeah, I think Vinny's hit the nail on the head there. I think it's very even between the two sides, Adrian, and that was evident last week when they matched up. I guess from a Dundalk's point of view, I thought the fact that they went behind twice in the game, they didn't really lose the header. They didn't change their style of play or go frantically chasing the game. I thought the fact that they just continued to build and continued to stick to their principles was really positive, and that probably lends itself to the great experience that they have in Europe within the squad. I would lean probably more in Dundalk's favour. I just thought, looking at the game last week, that if they could manage to nip themselves in front within the leg, that they would actually be able to see it out. And I still have that feeling heading into this week's tie as well, is that if they can just score the first goal, I'd actually be quite confident that Dundalk will go through. I thought they showed enough in that game that they can hurt Levadia Tallinn, and they can get in behind them and they can score goals. And with Dave McMillan in the form that he's in at this moment in time, if you give him enough chances, he's going to take them. My one concern is probably at the back. And I thought Lavadia got in behind Dundalk a couple of times. And if they are to progress, you would probably want to see them tighten up a bit there. But I'd probably lean on Dundalk, agent. I think they're going to go through here.
Graham, what do you reckon? What have you made of Dundalk in general this season? Obviously, it's been very topsy-turvy. But in the last few weeks, since Vinnie Perth has gone back in, he's really steadied things, hasn't he? But what do you reckon their prospects are on Thursday?
Yeah, like I referenced Dundalk ages ago in an article, kind of reminiscent of us with Cork City a couple of years ago in 2019, when at the start of the season we were kind of just losing games and we just thought we'd get over the hurdle, and eventually it kind of got into like we're actually in danger of a relegation battle, and I wasn't there at the time, but City eventually went out of Europe as well unexpectedly. But credit to Dundalk, I mean, it mustn't have been good for the owners probably to go back to Vinnie Port and go, we've actually made a mistake. They've held their hands up. And sometimes you just need someone in the club when things aren't going right, who knows the club well, knows all the players well, and knows how to get the best out of the players. I think they kind of lost a bit of, you know, when you're losing games at the start of the season, you kind of look at the year and go, is what's there to motivate us? No, we know we're probably good enough to stay in the division, but we've nothing to play for when they're used to winning every week. It's very tough to go from being competing at the top of the league to after 10 games of the season's over really in terms of your league campaign. But they've certainly, like with Europe, they're an experienced side when it comes to Europe. They're no longer like just, I would say, a lot of Irish teams when they go into Europe, you've a few players who are kind of hoping they might progress. But I think Dundalk lads are very confident. I think it will suit them going over as well away from home. I think sometimes when you do play at home, there's a bit more pressure on you to go at teams, and you're expected to win games, where away from home, you can go, you play away from home, you get a goal, you upset the home crowd, and then their players start feeling a lot more pressure on themselves, and you enjoy playing away from home. I think I enjoyed playing in new stadiums, different atmosphere to what you're used to every week, and you conserve yourself. You have to conserve yourself. Obviously, Vinny was talking about the heat and everything that's going to be over there, and they'll conserve themselves, their energy, so it might suit them a bit more that they can actually sit back where the onus will be on the home talent to attack Dundalk. So I think I would fancy Dundalk as well to go through, because I think they know a lot is riding on this game, and they always seem to produce when they need to. In fairness to them, like the FA Cup final last year, they came out of nowhere. No one expected them to beat Rovers. I certainly didn't. And they have that know-how of when to win the important games, I feel.
Yeah, James, they made four changes for the match against Treaty United on Sunday in the Cup, bringing in Cameron Dunbigan, Greg Sloggett, Han also started, Sean Murray as well. But it went to extra time as well, and it was extremely hot, as we all know, right across Ireland on Sunday afternoon. Would you be worried about Dundalk, given the testing conditions that prevailed at the weekend?
Not really. Like they're a fully professional football team, and I've just been looking up now that I heard Vinny mentioning the weather there. The weather's actually going to be cooler in Tallinn on Thursday evening than it is here at the moment, so that's not something he needs to really worry about. It's usually, when you go away to games like that, especially Estonia, Latvia, anywhere like that, it's usually the humidity does you even more. But it looks like it'll be a cool, maybe even a rainy night in Tallinn for the return leg. But you know, it can be quite difficult for them with the 2-0. We did mention it last week. The goals came from midfield again, which is something that we mentioned last week, and the formation that they would set out, which they did. And they just need to keep an eye on that. But I think I'm with Paul on this. I think if they get ahead of this and they get ahead in this tie, they'll see it out, I think. And they've got a prospect of a really, really good tie at the end of it as well, with Vitesse Arnhem waiting for them.
Yeah, it's a very juicy prospect. Much stiffer task, it has to be said, against Vitesse Arnhem. But anyway, we shall see. But very good to hear that you're all very positive about Dundalk's prospects in the second leg. Bohemians, well, they're well positioned as well. 5-0 winners over College Corinthians. Lots of changes made by Keith Long for that game in the Cup at Turner's Cross on Sunday afternoon. Keith Buckley, Aaron Doran, Keith Ward from the penalty spot, Jamie Mullins, and Dawson Devoy. Devoy, who set up Ross Tierney for the only goal against Du Delange in Luxembourg last week. A terrific win, that, the away leg for Bohemians. And now, Paul, they've got the return leg at the Aviva Stadium. And terrific to see that it's sold out. All 8,000 tickets gone in, what, just over an hour?
Yeah, superb. And it probably doesn't surprise me, just on the basis of how well the team are going. And, you know, even before COVID kicked in, Adrian, you know, you were actually struggling to get a ticket into Daily Mount unless you had a season ticket. So there's huge support behind them. And we're hoping, I guess, heading into the second leg that they can produce a performance similar to last time out when they're in the Aviva. You do get the feeling, I watched, I think it was Bose fan John O'Connor's stream on his phone last week, and I was managed to catch glimpses of the game. But the longer that tie went on, the more you kind of felt that Dudel Antwerp were coming into it, and Bose probably spent large portions of that second half in particular without the ball. And you just feel as if the game is to take shape like that in the Aviva on a wide pitch, it's a long, long time to try keep them out for another 90 minutes. But listen, it's hard to be anything but positive about Bose of late. Even in their league form has been particularly good, but the performances in Europe have been superb. And I know a lot has been spoken about Dawson Devoy in the last couple of weeks, but he really is, kicking on a lot. He's so comfortable with the ball at his feet. He's so creative. He brings other people into the game. And if you can get him on the ball and he can then start to involve the likes of Tierney and Kelly, there's chances there. And you probably feel as if they are to go through, they'll probably need to score. And with 8,000 fans roaring them on, the performance last time out in the Aviva was really good. They moved the ball around really well. They're probably more suited to Europe this year with the personnel that they have from last year. But it is going to take Adrian a really big performance, because Dudel Ange, I thought, and particularly in that second half, showed that they've probably got another gear or two to go through.
And just on Dawson Devoy, as somebody who played in England, Paul, do you give him a good chance of making it over there, or what are your thoughts?
It's hard to know, because, listen, Dawson is such a technical player, but there's so many of that type of player, Adrian, in the UK that have come through academy. So if you are to play in that kind of creative role, you really need to have a lot of bows in your string, and you need to be, I guess, a really well-rounded player. For me, I think with Dawson and his development, he would probably benefit from another 12 months at Bowes and just rack up that kind of first team experience before he then looks to maybe move across. But he certainly got, I guess, the raw talent with regards to how he sees the game to definitely progress in the UK. I guess the one thing you would say is if he is to go to a club, it needs to be a club that's going to play football and play to his strengths, because a team that's going to kick and lump it and chase around the pitch for 90 minutes isn't going to suit his style. But he's definitely got enough over the last couple of weeks to show that he can move up a couple of levels.
Yeah, Pauk is the prize for Bohemians, potentially, if they can see off Dudel Ange in the second leg. What do you reckon, James?
A bit like Paul said, Dudel Ange did seem to step up a gear within the second half, but then didn't really push it home, if you know what I mean. I think that's probably their weakness. You look back to the game last week in the Aviva, or 2 weeks ago now in the Aviva, and how well Bowes played and how comfortable they seemed going onto that big pitch, because after all, Daily Mount's quite a big pitch anyway. So I think that if they can get a goal, which I think they're more than capable of doing, they'll see out this tie. And as you mentioned, Pauk's Thessaloniki is the next one up for them. So that's going to be a very, very difficult tie, especially out in Thessaloniki, because I've been in their ground there and I've seen their fans, and it's quite a crazy ground to go to watch a game of football in.
Oh, you really do get around, James, don't you? You've been everywhere.
I do. I try to get it around as much as I can, Adrian.
Yeah, good lad. Graham, your thoughts on Bowes in general?
They're having a fantastic season, I think. Well, I'm a bit surprised that they're not actually challenging more for the title, but you know, that's the way things are. But in Europe, in terms, what they're doing is excellent. They're progressing every year as a club. I kind of agree with the lads. I think that it's a dangerous lead, the 1-0. It's like, does Keith Long think, do we go back? Do we sit back in and see, can we just see out this for 90 minutes? Which I think would kind of be a bit suicide, because I could see him just conceding, probably losing the game. It's very hard to sit back in the game and then change the philosophy to going and attacking if you're losing. So they probably do need a goal. I think, obviously, with Dawson Devoy, it's another big night for him. I think clubs in England will be looking at him, know he's making the headlines in Ireland, and especially on the European stage, they'll be interested to see how he plays against what I would say are better sides in the League of Ireland. That's what will get him his move, and that's what will probably get him a move to a better club in England. If they were going to look at him in terms of just playing the League of Ireland, maybe a kind of a championship level club might think we have to give him another couple of months. And I know Paul said he would say he's probably better off staying for 12 months, but I always say to lads, look, if you're hot, go, like, because you don't know what could happen in 12 months. You could get an injury. You're better off going to England, testing yourself, and if it doesn't work out, you come back or you go on loan somewhere else in England. I think if my advice to him was, and I know Bo's fans won't want to hear it, if the club comes in, he's got to try and push that move.
Okay, all right, listen, best of luck, of course, to both Bohemians and Dundalk in Europe. Let's go back to the FAI Cup, and Shamrock Rovers have progressed. 2-0 winners over John Caulfield's Galway United at Tallaght Stadium on Friday night. Roy Gaffney and Dylan Watts with the goals. Let's hear from the Hoops manager, Stephen Bradley.
A very good first half, but second half we were poor, we were sloppy. And to be fair to Galway, they never stopped trying and believing, and they were unlucky not to score in the second half.
You got two very good goals though.
Yeah, no, first half we were excellent. First half we scored two goals, could add more. Some of our play was excellent, but we just took our four off second half, which was disappointing.
A lot of that was Richie Towell was involved. We know what he's like as an enraged international. He's done well for Rovers since he's come back.
Yeah, he's a top player, isn't he, Richie? We know that. That's why we tried so hard to get him. He's going to be a big, big player for this club, not just this season, but in the coming seasons. He's a real leader as well off the pitch, and he's been fantastic since we got him.
The big matches come thick and fast now. Pat's next weekend. You'll be back in Europe very, very soon. This is what you're here for, though.
Exactly. Yeah, we're here. We're at this club. This is what we want. We want to be in big games every week. The second half of the season should be about important games, and that's what it's going to be about. And we're ready for it. I think you can see that we're in good form. Physically we're ready, so looking forward to it.
Danny Mandrew didn't appear tonight. Is he injured?
No, we had a sore throat headaches yesterday, so we were worried, got him tested. All negative, but just because he's been in bed, we just didn't take any chances with him.
Yeah, I suppose tonight's preparations were a little bit more different than the last time you played. Are there lessons to be learned from that, from the clubs or from the league?
It's really, really hard to control. I think Chelsea had to cut their pre-season short because of COVID. Arsenal the same. Man City closed down the training ground, Sheffield United closed down. It's nearly impossible to control, you know. To be fair to all the clubs, I think we've done really, really well in this country, you know. We've very few COVID cases within the clubs, and that's a testament to each club and the players. And everyone's trying their hardest, but it's nearly impossible to stop, I think, as we know.
That's Stephen Bradley speaking at the weekend to Pat Costello. Paul, I'm sure, once again, Stephen Bradley, for Shamrock Rovers and Shamrock Rovers supporters, it's about winning as many trophies as you can. So they'll be looking at the possibility of another double this year.
Yeah, and you'd have to say that they're probably favourites to do it, Adrian. I think in the last number of weeks, when they've bounced back from defeats, I think they've just got kind of key personnel back into the squad who'd been out with injury, even the likes of your Joey O'Briens, your Sean Kavanaghs, your Ronan Finns. Like, they're vastly experienced players, and they bring so much quality to the squad that you've kind of noticed in the last couple of weeks there's been an improvement in performance. You also add the likes of Richie Towell into the squad. They just look as if they've kicked into gear. And it looks as if they finally, I guess, adapted since Jack Byrne has moved on. I know we constantly talk about that, but he was such a big player for them. So I think in the last number of weeks, the European performance, the league performance, and even there on Friday night, I thought they were very comfortable. And if they continue on that form, it's going to take a serious side that's going to stop them. And if you're talking about, the league and the cup, but if they can make the group stages of Europe, I don't think that's beyond the realms of possibility. I think the form they're in at the moment, albeit the draw, will need to be in their favour. I think they've got a chance of making the group stages of that European competition.
And James, speaking of good form, St. Pat's 6, Bray Wanderers 0-2 for Billy King, Jason McClelland, Ben McCormick, Sam Bunn, and apparently a cracker from Paddy Barrett as well. But a very impressive win by Pat's at the weekend.
Yeah, and Pats, we know their history within this cup, and they always like to go on a bit of a run in the FAI Cup. Another one, Paul, drawing another big club against them, Bray Wanderers against Pats. We expected it to be a little bit more tricky than it was, but when you're in the form the Pats are in, they're obviously going to see a pass now, see who they get tomorrow, see where they go in the draw next, because there's a lot of other clubs there that they'd fancy getting past. But no, for a fan of St. Pat's, if you're a fan of St. Pat's, the Cup has that special thing about it, having not won it for so long and then eventually winning it. So I think they'd be well looking forward to the draw tomorrow, but a great result for them.
And a great result, Graham Cummins, for Cork City. You were there, Sligo Rovers 2, Cork City 3, Dale Holland with a goal in the 89th minute to win at the Showgrounds. Terrific result for Cork City, given the season that they've had to endure the fans so far.
Yeah, well, it was definitely an unexpected result, but a welcome one, I think, for City. I think it keeps their season alive, because I think they've left themselves too much to do to break the playoffs at this stage. They're 9 points off fifth. But you know, they've been improving the last couple of weeks. Like, I know you look at Bray and Pats there at the weekend. It was 6-0 to Pats, and Cork and Bray played a few weeks ago and it was 2-2. But honestly, it should have been 6 for Cork. They would have been out of sight. But like, going into the game yesterday, I thought they might hold out for a bit, but inevitably they'd probably lose. But like, when they concede such an early goal, and especially the way they did it, it was a poor mistake from McNulty. But they recovered. They got a great goal. Their first goal was excellent. The build-up play, I don't know if you've seen it, but I can't remember how much passes was involved in it, and it was a great finish from Ben and O'Brien Whitmarsh. And then they went and they got into half-time, which is what teams do. They were up against it. Like, Sligo had the majority of possession throughout the game. City just held a good shape. And at times, Sligo did up the tempo a bit, and it was tough for the City players to get near them. But they just stuck in defensively. And once they went 2-1 in front, they looked comfortable again. And it was an excellent ball from Bulger to Parks, who finished brilliant for make it 2-2. And you probably thought at that stage, I thought if they can get the extra time, pens would be great for them. And Daly comes up with a winner in the last minute. But like I said, they've been playing really well the last few weeks, really well. They've just not been getting the results. And even though Sligo had a lot of possession of the ball yesterday, they created little. And I probably would say that Cork probably just about edged in terms of overall play, that they deserved the victory. And I was surprised by Sligo, how vulnerable they are defensively. We talk about, like, people again playing out from the back. I'm very old school when it comes to defending. I think you need to learn how to be a defender first, and it just seems that Sligo were more happy about passing the ball around the back, and every time City went forward, they got in very easily. And I can see why Sligo have been struggling the past couple of weeks when they were so poor defensively, I thought.
Yeah, Sligo's form has certainly fallen off a cliff. We'll come back to that in a moment. But just on Cork, obviously struggling near the foot of the First Division, second from bottom, and you were saying there a few moments ago that performances in recent weeks have been quite good, and yet fans are very frustrated. Long term, where do you see Cork going? I mean, obviously promotion this season is, you know, it's a non-runner effectively.
Yeah,
but next year, can they mount a challenge, or where do you see the club progressing?
Well, that kind of all depends on the takeover. At the moment, the Grovemore takeover is still up in the air. Will that happen? Will there be the investment there needed? Because it's tough to attract players to Cork when they don't have the budget to do it. They can't go out and pick a player from Dublin when he's not going to come down to Cork, move up his life to probably earn less money. But like, in terms of what Colin's doing at the moment, he's investing in the youth players, and you can see the last few weeks, like I said, they're getting better. The players have improved. I would have said at the start of the year, watching a lot of these lads, I was thinking they just have to go in the summer because they're not good enough to play for City. But they've turned it around. They have improved. Like, the aim has to be promotion at the end of the day. I know what you said as well about the fans being frustrated, and I totally understand that, because you look back to only 2 or 3 years ago, winning up in Sligo wouldn't have been that big a deal. But now, all of a sudden, it's massive for the club, and that's how quick things can change in football. And again, you could get investors into the club, and they can push on because the potential is there. Like, I think everyone knows that. It's not a case of there's some clubs in the league, no disrespect, if they got investment, players might be attracted to it because they don't have the fan base, they don't have the stadium, they don't have the history where City do, really. Like, and again, I always say it, it's playing at Turner's Cross, it's unbelievable atmosphere, and perhaps you haven't had this year because the fans haven't been in the ground, and when they have, the results haven't gone the way they would have liked. But that is the ultimate aim. No, people in the club might say they can still do it this year. I still think it's very hard to do that, maybe if the season's beginning again. But certainly winning now against Sligo, what they need to do is build on that, because all it's been this year is they've only won 3 games in the league, but then they couldn't follow up a win. They need to get back-to-back wins. That's what they need to do first. Building that,
I mentioned there, James, Sligo Rovers out of Europe. You know, they squandered a great chance to progress in Europe against FH of Iceland, and now out of the FAI Cup. And we were talking about Cork fans maybe feeling frustrated. Sligo Rovers fans are certainly frustrated this morning.
Oh, definitely. I'd seen some tweets yesterday after the game. Like, to even, I suppose they would have thought that this would have been an out of sight, easy tie, home tie. Let's get back on track into the next round of the FAI Cup. But then they just, again, like they did, as you mentioned, it's FH, they just didn't follow through on what their potential was in the game. I'm sure Liam and his backroom staff are scratching their head as to what's happened over the last couple of weeks. Like, cup draws, everybody say the two lads have played in cup draws. When it's a one-off game, it's anybody's game. But you just felt that Sligo should have pushed on and won that. And with their form dipping now, you would suggest that's Europe gone, that's the cup gone. And you'd almost suggest that's the league. Any chance of running in the league gone as well?
Okay, all right. We shall see what happens. Elsewhere, Wexford 3, Cabinteely 0. Kyle Robinson, Lorcan Fitzgerald and Jack Moylan. Very good win that for Wexford. Maynooth 4, Malahide 0. And a result that caught your eye, Paul, over the weekend. UCD 2, Shelburne 0. Colm Whelan from the penalty spot and Harvey O'Brien. Shells, the runaway leaders of the First Division, out of the cup.
Yeah, and Adrian, I guess it caught my eye just purely on the basis that I thought Shelburne would put a decent cup run together. They've as good as got the league won. They've got a really good squad, an experienced squad, and they've invested heavily in that squad to get them not only back to the Premier Division, but I'm sure both Ian Morris and the owners would have been fancying a cup run when they saw that they'd drawn UCD. And it's a major upset, and it's probably a case of they've taken the foot off the pedal there, and they've let a good opportunity slip. But from a UCD point of view, it's a really positive result. It's one that they can really build on. Graham talking there about kind of momentum in the league. It's a type of result against Shells that might spur them on in the First Division. And you would imagine that come the end of the season as well, Colm Whelan on the score sheet again, he's going to be definitely one that's is going to be on the list or the target list of a number of Premier Division teams, because he's really banging in goals this season.
We're going to run through all the results. Maynooth 4, Malahide 0. I may have given that already. Anyway, St. Kevin's 1, Kilnamana 4. Good win for Keith Foy's side. And it took penalties for Waterford to see off Athlone Town. The Blues won the shootout 4-2. Remarkable game at Lissy Wullen, 4-4 after extra time. Two penalties from Glenn McCauley, 3-3 at 90 minutes. New signing Greg Halford amongst the scorers for Waterford. Then in the 122nd minute, George Forrest appeared to have won it for Waterford. But then from the restart, this happened.
I think Athlone just have to try and pump this ball forward and try and get something. So just going to run forward. McCauley tries to hit one from long range. Over! What a goal! Glenn McCauley! What a goal! This is what just unbelievable!
Glenn McCauley! Take a bow, son! Take a bow!
What a goal!
Absolutely unbelievable stuff here! Unbelievable!
I've never, ever...
Never witnessed scenes like it, Gordon!
Glenn McCauley, take a bow. That's what the commentator said. Glenn is on the line. Glenn, for people who haven't seen it, it was a goal from inside the centre circle just after Waterford had scored to tie up the match. Stunning. Have people been on to you about that goal?
Oh, my phone's been going mad since it happened. I didn't expect it to blow up that much, but it went crazy. Unlucky we didn't get the win on penalties, but it was a crazy game to be a part of.
Yeah, tell us a bit about the match. 4-4 after extra time.
I don't know where to start. We were 2-0 down. They got someone sent off. We made a 3-2 in the 89th minute. They scored in the 90th minute. Went to penalties. Both managers got sent off. They scored the last minute of extra time, and then obviously that happened straight after. It was a mad one.
And tell us, you know, at the restart, because obviously players must have felt a bit deflated. It's the end of extra time. Cork look like they've snatched the winner, and you're about to take the restart, and you're probably thinking to yourself, the referee's going to blow up very shortly. So what was going through your mind?
I just said to the referee how long's left, and he said, that's it. So I was looking at the keeper, and he was back on his line. I was thinking, I'm going to have to hit this, but I seen him step up then, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to have to do it.
And have you ever scored a goal like that before? Have you tried that before?
Only in training. I've never tried it in a match, but I don't know whether to try it again. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Paul Corrie, did you ever manage one from the halfway line?
I'm not even sure I had the power of my legs out to reach the goal. I think for me, what was so impressive about the strike is actually the trajectory of the ball. You know, when you're striking a ball, yes, you can lob the keeper if he's got a bit off his line, but it was such a sweet ping. It was almost like a 5-iron that drove over the keeper's head. And an amazing, amazing strike, and not something that I ever would have had the confidence of trying from that distance.
Yeah, Graham, what about you? What did you make of that goal?
Oh, it was incredible. I like my phone was blowing up on Twitter with it, so I can't imagine But Glenn's was like, it was amazing striking. Like I actually tipped Glenn to be top scorer in the first division at the beginning of the season. So if he can produce that every week now, it'd be handy. It'd make me look much better as well. So like I said, I'd be the same as Paul. I wouldn't have the power in my legs to even think about doing that. Like, so it's incredible. It's incredible technique. Again, like the pace, the power on it, and to have the bravery to do it on your debut. I know you'd scored two beforehand, last kick of the game, because if you miss that, if I'm a teammate, I'm turning around going, what the hell are you doing, like, attempting that? Like, it's kind of like, you know, when someone shoots, takes a free kick, last kick of the game, they shoot from an impossible angle and it goes over and everyone who's in the box waiting for the cross kind of turns and looks. So, like, it was fair play, like, because it took a lot of courage.
And you only joined Athlone, Glenn, was it on Thursday or Friday? Certainly late last week.
Yeah, we left us on Tuesday and then trained on Wednesday, joined Thursday. So it all happened very quick, and then it must have been written in the stars for it to happen.
And yet, at the same time, you know, you got to penalties, and then to lose, after all that drama, to lose on penalties, that must have been very tough for all of the lads and the supporters of Athlone.
Oh, it was a crazy feeling, to be honest, because we weren't expected to win the game. So it was a bit of a free pass for us to the treaty game on Friday. But to get into that situation and with the performance that we played, I think we can take a lot of confidence from it.
And what about yourself now? Because obviously you've signed for Athlone, you were at Bowes and Pats, and obviously across the water, you were part of the Liverpool Academy a couple of years back. But obviously this is an opportunity now that you're, I'm sure, determined to grab with both hands at Athlone.
That's it. It's the first time since I've moved home that I feel like I'm going to be game time in the actual position as a striker. So I just need to repay the manager for giving me the chance and hopefully keep scoring goals.
Yeah. Well, what about the pressure Graham Cummins has put on you there to be top scorer halfway through the season?
I don't think I'm going to get in now, but you can tip me for next season.
Come here, would you still harbour ambitions of going back to England? I mentioned there that you were at the Liverpool Academy a couple of years back, but would it still be, you know, on your radar to return to England at some stage?
Of course, when the time is right, I'd like to get back abroad playing football. I have a one-year-old baby and everything at the moment, so it's just walking around everything that's happening at the moment.
It's all go, go, go. What was that experience like at Liverpool?
Oh, it was unbelievable. 6 years I was over there, and that no one can take away from you, and I learned a lot over there, the attitude and lifestyle. So it was something that I'd never regret doing.
And who that we might know of was part of the Liverpool Academy when you were there?
Portis Jones, Reece Williams, Nico Williams, Ryan Brewster, Ben Woodburn. There was a lot of good players on the team. We had a very good team.
Okay. Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck. Great goal. Look at, you know, for neutrals, I mean, Waterford fans are obviously delighted that Waterford went through, but a lot of people would have been hoping after your heroics and that goal that Athlone might have progressed. But certainly under Adrian Carberry, Athlone heading in the right direction this season. So best of luck for the remainder of the season and all that goes with it. And well done on that spectacular
100%.
Goal.
100%. Thanks very much.
Cheers. That's Glenn McCauley joining us on the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. James, Derry City are through by the skin of their teeth. 1-1 against Drogheda United at Head in the Game Park after extra time. And Derry won it 4-2 on penalties. And Derry fans breathing a sigh of relief because obviously Drogheda had a couple of players sent off. Dane Massey and James Brown. Tim Clancy, the manager, also sent to the dugout. So it was an anxious day for Derry, but you got there in the end.
Yeah, got there in the end. And as I said earlier, when I seen Drogheda United, Paul take Drogheda United out against Derry City, because United Head in the Game Park hasn't been the best place for Derry to go to in the last number of years. Every time we've gone there, it's been a very, very difficult game. And then even on Saturday, it was still the same. Like, Diddy Corcoran scores for them in injury time at the end of the first half. And then Danny Lafferty gets a penalty with 96 minutes to even bring it into injury time. Such an eventful game. Junior's already missed one, missed a penalty. And then for it to go all the way down to penalties, and one of the youngest players in the squad to score the winning penalty as well, with everything that was going around him, behind him, was absolutely just a crazy game of football. But they're through. That's all they can do is get through to the next round, and it's great to see them go through to the next round, because this is a kind of cup again that Derry has a greater affiliation with, bar the League Cup, but this one as well. If they can get to a cup final, this one as well, it'd be great for the club and for everybody who's put in so much hard effort to the club over the last number of years.
They are through, indeed they are. Derry City, let's hear from their manager, Rory Higgins.
I think 11v11 was our best period in the game. I thought we were good, we controlled large spells, and then went to 11v10, we just lacked a wee bit of inventiveness and ideas, and likewise 11v9, but the players kept going. We got the penalty right at the end and put it away. Listen, if you're 11v9, it shouldn't go to penalties. You should get the job done, but again, went to penalties and the players showed huge character, and you could have had that tinge of doubt in your mind where, listen, we haven't done it 11v9. Doubts can start creeping in, but they stuck to their guns and they got the job done. And I suppose when you're in a cup competition, it doesn't really matter how you get into the next round.
Yeah, you almost snatched at the end of extra time, the free kick hitting the post. But the performance when you were two men up, I could hear you shouting on to keep the tempo up and to keep the play moving.
I was disappointed. 11v10 and 11v9 in particular. We still had a couple of chances where we should have won the game and put it to bed, but we weren't ruthless enough. And I think the real, real top teams go and put that game away. But we're a work in progress. We're evolving as a team. I think we're getting better, and we'll stick to our principles. And even though it wasn't quick enough or it wasn't inventive enough, we stuck at it and we went right to the very end. And thankfully, we're in the next round.
There you go. That's Rory Higgins speaking to Cathal Mullany after that win for Derry City, albeit on penalty kicks. FN Harps also needed extra time. They came through 3-0 in Limerick against Fairview Rangers. That game played at the Fair Green on Saturday. Comprehensive win for Longford Town over Bangor by 5-0. Elsewhere, Kilester Donnycarney 1, Usher Celtic 0. Crumlin United 1, St Mochtas 2. James, your club have progressed.
Happy out. Happy out that the local club got through. And what better way to get through? Mick Daly scoring for them as well. The man who thought he was going to retire a couple of years ago. Being to a cup final as well with Drogheda. And it's good to see him back scoring goals for them as well.
Yeah, Liffey Wanderers 0, Cove Ramblers 2. What about that one, Graham? Because obviously a lot of developments at Cove over the course of the last week with Stuart Ashton departing the scene. And then a new manager appointed in Darren Murphy. First of all, actually, Stuart Ashton, was that any great surprise that he left?
I think everyone knew he was going to be leaving at the end of the year. I think the timing was a bit of a surprise. Maybe they could have done it at the start of the year because he'd just come off the back of a victory as well in his last game at Cove. I was actually speaking to Stewie on Monday and the news kind of broke Tuesday morning, and he was all for going up for preparing for the game. I was talking about the game against Liffey on the Sunday. So I don't know if he was just a really good poker player or what, like, but he was telling me everything a normal manager would say, expecting to be in a job for the next game. He's done a great job with him, but I think his commitment's out of whereas, like, with another role with the FA that he couldn't carry on. And Cove obviously just thought now was the time to maybe make a switch and see, to give Darren a chance between now and the end of the year, because I think I know a lot of like lads have been linked with the job, but Darren knows football better than anyone else. Like, he's from Cork as well, so he'll know as well local talent. Like, the Munster Senior League, they pick a lot of players from that because of their budget. He's brought in Francis Rocket from Waterford. Well, he was with Waterford last year, and that's an excellent decision straight away by them. And he's been to every game, Darren, this year, so he knows all the players and all and everything. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually gave him the job full time, because like I said, he knows the players to pick from within Cork itself. That I don't think Cove again can go pick lads from Dublin. They don't have the budget really to bring people in from that. So it was surprising to see Stewie go, the timing wise, but I think Darren is more than capable of stepping in and getting the job full time.
They're through. Nathan O'Connell and Danny O'Connell with the goals in extra time for Cove Ramblers at the expense of Liffey Wanderers. Results in the Women's National League over the course of the weekend. Shelburne with a very big win over Treaty United by 7-2. Wexford Youths also with a fairly good win as well, 4-1 against Cork City, and a finish at Lontown 1, Piemont United 2 at Lissy Wullen. Áine Gorman, who of course was on the podcast last week, and we're kind of slagging her off for not scoring at the weekend, but she got the winner at the weekend against Athlone Town. So Shells and Piemont locked together on 34 points, one ahead of Wexford Youths, who played a game more. Now, we mentioned at the very outset Treaty United under, Treaty United been going very well, of course, in the First Division, knocked out of the Cup by Dundalk over the course of the weekend, but this is the latest incarnation in terms of a club in Limerick, and of course, football in Limerick has been played since 1937, and in that time they've had some great players, various Limerick clubs, great managers, and some success with the league title and the FAI Cup resting on Shannon's side on two occasions each. Ewan Fenton, Owen Hand, Sam Allardyce are amongst those who have managed Limerick, while notable players have included over the years Kevin Fitzpatrick, the great Al Finucane, Tommy Gaynor, Dave Mahidi, and former rugby international Tony Ward. And venues such as the Markets Fields, Jackman Park, Hogan Park and Thomond Park have all been used as home venues for Limerick League of Ireland sides over the last 84 years. Well, after missing out in having a League of Ireland team in 2020, a new side, Treaty United, was formed late last year and successfully entered the First Division for 2021. And they sit in joint second place alongside Galway United under manager Tommy Barrett, who previously managed the Limerick League of Ireland team in 2019. As well as League of Ireland football, Treaty United covers underage football and the women's game, not only in Limerick City and County, but they've expanded to call themselves really a Midwest club. Their new board is chaired by former Limerick City and County manager Con Murray, and includes among its members former player, the aforementioned Dave Mahidi, who's very familiar with all things sport from his role as sporting director of University of Limerick. So both Murray and Mahidi, as well as manager Tommy Barrett, have very much bought into the club's approach and are confident that Treaty United won't suffer the same fate as previous Limerick clubs.
Well, Con, after a successful career as a local government official, you decided to take on the chair here at Treaty United. Why, I suppose, first of all?
We wanted to bring back League of Ireland soccer to Limerick, and I was asked by a number of people, would I give a hand? And it kind of rolled on from there in terms of the group that were put together. And the opportunity and the excitement kind of got hold. And I do enjoy the soccer. I've been following for a long time, young people playing it. And look, we are here today, and we didn't think we would be here today in the manner that we are.
As a county manager, obviously you had a great knowledge of all sport in Limerick City and county. Soccer in Limerick was always important.
Look, there's a huge heritage, there's a huge culture of sport in this part of the country. And when you look at the pictures in recent years, there's been something missing. And that is the tradition of soccer that has existed for so long in the Midwest. And we are a Midwest team. And we have players from all over the Midwest who are supporting us. We have a lot of clubs supporting us. And more importantly, we have a huge amount of fans who want to be here, and please God, will be here.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the Midwest term that you're using, because it was Limerick we all expected. But talking to people, you're talking about Clare, you're talking about Limerick City and County, you're talking about Kerry as well.
We are. I mean, as they grow up in the Kennedy Cup League, I mean, they're used to that type of scenario. So you're actually playing with young lads and young girls around you. So the idea here is that we are not just simply concentrating on the city. This is an opportunity for Midwest. League of Ireland soccer for the Midwest, and opportunities in particular for young people to come through and experience their potential and their opportunity.
No matter whether you talk Limerick City or County, the Midwest is still a sport mad area, with rugby and obviously now hurling, and Billy Lee gets the odd victory as well. What are the challenges facing a team like Treaty United in 2021?
I think, in fairness, we've all come through the COVID scenario. We've all struggled with putting the resources that are necessary behind our teams. And if anything remains, the biggest challenge is ensuring that we have the resources to support the academies and to support our senior teams. And that is very much dependent on the Midwest. We are a not-for-profit operation, and therefore we are dependent upon people.
The sponsors of the League of Ireland, SSC Electricity, have brought out a new project about sustainability of League of Ireland clubs. Obviously, you'd expect more people to get involved in that, more authorities to get involved in encouraging that sort of thing, sustainability for sport, sustainability for soccer clubs.
It is. Look, it's one of the bases that we actually started off on, was we were going to grow this slowly, but with a sustainable approach to ensure that we can survive here over the longer term. That's not going to be easy, okay? But having said that, we started off in a particular way. And what we really want to grow is our academies. We really want to grow opportunity for our young people, and I believe that will bring the sustainability to the senior element of the game.
Finance then obviously is the big, big problem then, the big challenge for you.
Finance is always a challenge, but we have been supported by an enormous amount of good people who have business heads and let's say sporting heads who have come together to support us. We have excellent sponsors in UPMC, EI Electronics, Tri Studios and Darren Holmes and people like that who have come behind us in order to support us, taking a gamble on us, to be perfectly honest. But I think in fairness, what you see out there is grit, determination and heart. And I think if anyone can support anything, they'll support that.
Well, Mayor Daniel Butler, you're newly elected here in the Limerick City and County. You're here at your local club, I suppose, League of Ireland club. What does it mean to have soccer back in Limerick?
Look, it means everything to us. We've always had a very vibrant and meaningful soccer culture here in Limerick, you know, especially in around the city and around our urban areas. It really has been the lifeblood for a lot of communities here in Limerick. So to have our own senior team in the League of Ireland and here today playing Dundalk is exactly where we want to be, and to be honest with you, where we deserve to be as a city and a county. We have amazing talent locally, and what the boys are managing to do here in harnessing that talent and bringing it through at such a young age and developing it, we really are as a city and a county very, very excited right now.
Well, Dave Mahidi, you were here in the heady days of League of Ireland football and indeed European football, and there were heady days.
Oh, they were. Unfortunately, that was long ago. And we have to dip into our memories for that. But they were incredible days. They were, you know, for me, it was the start of my career. And I thought this happened every year. And it's been so long since we've had such an occasion here.
Would you have been disappointed that, I suppose, things went awry so many times for Limerick soccer?
Oh, yeah, devastated. And that's one of the reasons why I got involved with a great crew of people this time. To try and put a structure in place that will last time, because there's great talent, there's great facilities, everything is set for it, but just the organisation wasn't there. And hopefully we can get the organisation right. And Tommy's doing that on the field, and it's up to us off the field to make sure he has the support that he needs.
Yeah, you're a board member here at Treaty United, but you would obviously have a bigger eye in your previous role as a sporting director with Limerick University. The challenges facing a League of Ireland soccer club in Limerick and the surrounding area with all the other sports, successful sports in Limerick.
Yeah, it's big, but the whole Midwest area is such a sporting centre, and there is great support there. So it's only a matter of getting the right product on the field, but the right product being the right club, doing it the right way, and bringing people with you. And I think when you see in the team, you know, there's people from Tipperary, from Clare, from Kerry, from Cork, Galway. You know, it represents the Midwest, and that's what's needed is as a centre. It's not just Limerick City. It's a bigger environment than that, and if we can get it right, we can get the support right through the region, and that's what you need.
Munster Rugby probably did something like that. Connacht Rugby certainly are doing it as well. So obviously, there's precedent for it.
There is, and as you said, I've seen it firsthand in my former life as director of sport at UL, and I've seen what works and I've seen what doesn't work. So hopefully, that bit of experience with what we have here and a raw product that's only waiting for the right approach, the right organisation, the right structure and the right culture.
And obviously everybody has to get on board, whether they be authorities or businesses.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've learned over the years is partnership is a key word. If you can partner with organisations, with local councils, with the local leagues, which over the years there was always a hassle between the leagues and the senior. If we can all approach it together as a partnership, we have a chance of being successful.
You see a bright future for Treaty United?
I see a huge, bright future for Treaty United.
Well, Tommy, when you were putting this, I suppose, you were asked to come back. What were your thoughts of coming back to manage a team?
Yeah, well, look, there was a good, strong board there. And, you know, I've always wanted to be back involved, obviously. You know, it's a kind of, you know, kind of get addicted to the times, you know, even though it was low periods the last couple of years in particular previously. But, you know, it seemed to a good board and a good vision of, you know, slow build. I think that's important, that we don't get carried away. Even though the results are on the pitch, we still need to develop our own facilities. We still need our own training facilities. We still need to get the underage structure right. And that'll take time, you know. So for me, it should be a long-term programme.
Are you surprised that you're joined second in the league at the moment?
I am. Yeah, I am surprised, to be honest. You know, look, we're only together 21, 22 weeks. But it kind of, you know, that can galvanise times at times as well, particularly, I think, since we got a couple of early results. You know, we got a couple of nil-all draws and a couple of 1-0 wins and that kind of built belief. And, you know, we started to play a bit then. But we have some good, very good players here, some very good young players, and they want to prove themselves. And if they go on to move elsewhere, so be it. But, you know, we're happy to be like that for now.
Yeah, and like everybody else, once you get you into a particular position, you want to go further.
Of course you do, yeah. You want to win every game, no matter who you are and no matter what level you're playing at. You want to win every game. You try to get a result in every game. But, you know, as we always say, we take it game by game.
Is Treaty United the future for Limerick soccer?
Well, it is, yeah. Look, you know, I think that's kind of obvious now at the moment. You know, it's obviously, you know, we've changed the colours, we've changed the name, all those things, but people seem to be getting on board and behind it. There's a good positive energy out there. You know, we have the fans back in now, and there's a lot of old fans that support senior soccer, so we're happy to have them.
And that's the Treaty United manager, Tommy Barrett, that package put together by Pat Costello. Very interesting stuff. And obviously, as a Munster man, Graham, good to see Treaty United. I know. Obviously, Cove and Cork are much lower down the division, but Treaty United have had a terrific season so far.
They've surprised everyone in the division. I think a lot of credit has to go to Tommy, because I spoke to Tommy, I'd say about 5 or 6 days before the season actually begun, and he was just telling me about how he's going to have to try and get lads in. That's basically getting nothing, like just on expenses, and just all he's doing with them is he's getting them all to work hard for each other, believing in what they're doing. And when you're winning games, you'll always work hard for each other. And like I said, he's got players in there that no one would have heard of. I think Sean McSweeney, I've been so impressed by him. I know he's probably been offered by other clubs or looking at him, but again, speaking to Tommy, I think it kind of suits him remaining in Limerick. And I think Ty Gryan as well, I played with him at City and I played with him at Waterford. He's an outstanding goalkeeper. He was just so unfortunate last year that Brian Murphy was at Waterford, who's probably one of the best keepers in the league as well. So they've got so much lads. And again, it just shows what kind of hard work can do for you, in especially in the first division. If you're organised, you work hard for one another. There's nothing special about them that I would say they do everything brilliant. They do everything very well, and they're a very organised side, and they just believe in each other, and they're just a good team building. And like I said, a lot of credit has to go to Tommy about that, the way he's managed to pluck players the last minute and get them joined second in the first division.
Yeah, well done to all involved with Treaty United. We'll wrap things up very shortly, lads, but actually, Graham, just going back to Cove Ramblers, we mentioned that, you know, the managerial change there, but away from the playing side of things, very sad news last week with the passing of club chairman John O'Rourke, a man who was synonymous with Cove Ramblers. Very, very sad.
Yeah, it is tragic news, and my thoughts go to his family and friends. I mean, he was embedded in the club. He did everything from the club. When I was down there, he was always at games. He was always at training, and I think like the night we won the league, he was celebrating more than the players, and he was the heart and soul of the club, really. When you talk about Cove Ramblers, he was the first name associated with the club. So look, he made a massive mark in the club, and he won't be forgotten, that's for sure. And again, just hopefully he can find some rest now.
Okay, well said. And our sympathies to the O'Rourke family and everybody involved with Cove Ramblers on the passing of John O'Rourke. Busy weekend, well, not actually overly busy weekend of football action coming up, because of course Dundalk and Bohemians are not in action in the Premier Division. There are three games on Friday night: Shamrock Rovers against St Pat's at Tallaght Stadium, Drogheda against Waterford, and Finn Harps against Bohemians. And then on Saturday there's one game, as Longford Town are in action. They take on Derry City at Bishopsgate. But Paul Curry, that game between Shamrock Rovers and St Pat's, still very early in the season, mind you, but the top two going head-to-head at Tallaght Stadium, it's going to be fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, huge one, Adrian, particularly from a St. Pat's point of view, because you kind of get the feel of while they're within touching distance of Shamrock Rovers, you still give them a chance of staying there. And this game on Friday will be huge, because if they can win, it'll put them 3 points ahead. But it does have that feeling, and I touched upon it earlier on in the show. I just think that Shamrock Rovers are starting to kick into gear now. And if they can... they can put 3 points and win against St. Pat's, it might just start to open up that bit of a gap. But listen, when Pat's went to Tallaght earlier on in the season, they gave them a serious go. And they're playing with the freedom, playing with a confidence at this moment in time that Pat's will most certainly fancy their chances. But you would imagine come the end of the season, if Pat's are to be in and around Shamrock Rovers, games like this on Friday is one where you probably feel as if they need to at least get something from it.
What are you expecting from this one, James?
I'm expecting hopefully a lot of goals, because the two of them are racking up goals lately, and the strikers are well in form. Hopefully it's a cracking game. Like, Pats have a really busy week ahead. Like, they've got Rovers on Friday, and the following Friday they've got Dundalk as well. So they need to be picking up. These are the type of games, as Paul said, these are the games they need to be picking up points if they're going to have any form of staying with or even going ahead themselves and pushing ahead. I'm hoping this is going to be an absolute cracking game. I'm fingers crossed it's going to be a good game. And also the draw, the Waterford game, that should be a good game as well, actually, because the way Waterford have picked up a little bit lately, and draw, they'll be ruining the chances they had against Derry in the Cup. So that'll be a good game as well Friday night. So two really good games Friday evening.
Okay, all right, listen, we'll leave it there. Many thanks to Graham Cummins, also to Paul Corry, and as ever to James. Enjoy the rest of your staycation in Donegal, James, and we'll chat to you next week. From all of us on the RT Soccer Podcast, bye for now.